needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The Blind Tag, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, WLW Studios Midnight Jury and After Midnight, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Thursday Night Destruction, Two and a Half Wrestlers featuring the Pat Buck Show and the Bro Show, and the Shining Wizards. These are the shows of the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Buddy, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody in between, we are your recognized symbol of excellence, sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea, and I am always joined by
Dapper Dave Powers.
Dapper Dave Powers, and we are live, Dapper Dave.
We're live, pal.
That's right. Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media on TuneIn, Roku, Ustream, your sister's basement. I don't know. You know, we're all that. You know, but we're live nonetheless.
Yeah.
Part of the Shining Wizards Network, as always. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm feeling chilled out right now, maxing and relaxing. Tomorrow is going to be my very first spa day over in Palisades Park. I'm headed up with a friend of mine to King Spa, and I'm going to be pampered as shit.
I had a spa day on my cruise a couple of years ago.
How'd that turn out?
A little weird. I'm not a big fan of strangers' hands on me, even if the chicks are hot. You know what I'm saying? For some reason, maybe because I'm insecure. You know, I'm insecure about how I look, but you know, they did the whole like wrap thing. They wrap this. They put this seaweed stuff on you, and they wrap you in cellophane and beat you with a stick.
Oh, I would love that.
And they put hot rocks on you, and I mean, I didn't have it wasn't a bad experience. I just I felt, you know, icky a little bit, you know, because I had somebody's shit all over me, you know, like all the hands and whatnot. You
somebody
know?
Was shitting all over you?
Well, it looked like shit. It was like seaweed. Like it looked like it looked like after you if you eat that black hamburger from Burger King, that's what that stuff looked like that they put on you.
All right, but I can go for that.
No, it worked. It worked, but you know, supposed to draw all the moisture out. You know, like make you thinner and stuff like that. You know, it was pretty cool.
I love the sound of that, and I'm looking forward to getting massaged because I haven't had like a real one in ever. I've always had like those like chair massages at the mall and stuff like that. They work.
See,
I know the real thing is where it's at.
See, I pictured you the Chinatown guy, you know, going down there and getting a happy ending and.
No, I don't do any of that stuff.
No, I thought with the Asian culture and maybe after the film festival, you and Rob go to unwind. You know,
No, nobody's pulling my crank after the. I'm not paying anyone to pull my crank, at least. So yeah, I don't.
So hello, everybody in the chat room. I see Ted Turner, and everybody else is anonymous. All right.
Yeah.
So I am physically exhausted. I'm too old to be going to these fucking Comic Cons, man.
You went to it today?
I did go today.
Rob got you the hookup.
Rob sold me his extra ticket. He had an extra ticket.
Nice.
And I met up with him on Thursday morning, and ironically, he lives along my bus route.
Oh.
So I jumped off the bus, gave Rob money like I was buying drugs, got back on the bus, and then Friday morning I was at Comic-Con bright and early.
Oh.
And I met with our boy Lou from the Star Wars Retrospective Podcast. It was Lou's first convention, so he was absolutely beside himself.
First convention, period.
His first Comic-Con.
Okay.
So this is like my third or fourth. I couldn't afford these things as a kid, you know? So he went, and he was beside himself. And once we got in, he had to see, the thing with the conventions is if you want to go to certain panels, you got to get online and get bracelets and shit like that.
Yeah.
He wanted to go to some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel that was at 6 o'clock at night, but he had to go at like 10 o'clock in the morning to get the bracelet.
Yeah.
So he went, and I went and met up with Surfer. Surfer was there today.
How's he doing?
Surfer is hanging on. The poor guy was
hanging on. Sounds like he's about to die.
I felt bad for the guy. He was fucking crippled. He's on a crutch. His knee is all messed up. And
yeah, I remember hearing something about the leg, and he was all worried about the operation and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's a fucking class act, man. I got a lot of love for Surfer, and I'm glad that I finally got to meet him. And we sat and talked for a while. Went to a Star Wars panel. Shooting the shit. Ironically, we were on our way to the panel, and one of the people who worked there like ran over to us. Do you guys want a wheelchair? He looked like because Surfer was like struggling. You know, he looked like he was like about to fall off with this crutch.
Oh God!
So Surfer looked at the lady. He goes, "Nah." He goes, "I'm good." He goes, "You got a motorized one?" She's like, "Nah." Then he goes, "Well, then he's gonna have to push me around." I'm like, "That's not gonna happen."
Yeah.
So I took my time, walked with him a little bit, and then he actually walked the floor with me for a little while, which I told him I didn't want him to do that, but he felt like he wanted to hang out, so we bonded, you know, we're shooting the shit. And then I broke apart from him because he wanted to go to do some more stuff, and then I did some more stuff, and so Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Jerry Lawler, Sergeant Slaughter.
They were there, like, was it, like 2 years ago when I went there? They were
yeah,
there.
Hurricane Helms. Yeah, it was all with Mike Kingston doing the headlock thing, so. Yeah, man, you know what? It's nice and it's not nice. It's nice that I get all this free shit that I got today. And then it's not nice that it's just, people are so, like, I understand it's a lot of people at once. People have no manners, man. They don't say, excuse me, or coming through, or hey, what's up, you know?
They I experience that every day at work.
They fucking barrel their way through. Like, and this, it's almost like getting on a subway. But
yeah.
At least when you get on a subway, it's one time you're getting on, they push you on. Everywhere you go, people are fucking pushing you. And I kept looking back, like, you know, you could say, excuse me. And I'm a big dude. You can't miss me. So I'm walking around with a backpack on. And, like... And these cosplay people, they're, like, ridiculous, man.
Yeah, like, man, you know, it's, I don't even, like, you know, I wonder nowadays, like, how how really into, you know, these people are into the actual comics and stuff like that, or are they just mainly into dressing up?
You know what the creepy part is? Is that people chase these people who dress up for pictures.
Yeah.
Like, they're dudes, and they were, like, a lot of creepy dudes with really expensive cameras.
Oh, yeah. Was it Rob got me in 1 year, and what was it? There was, like, some cosplay chick who had, like, her own booth, and she was, you know, selling calendars and, like, photos of herself and posters and shit like that. And I'm like, this person just dresses up like, you know, comic book characters. Like, I know she's hot. I get that. But for me, it's, like, a little kind of, like, okay, like, where does the line, you know, end? And apparently there is no end to the line crossing, because this person had, like, a shit ton of people coming up to, of course, like, weird guys coming up to her buying, you know, posters and whatnot. You know, good for her. But they were also giving her gifts. They were giving her, like, really, like, expensive, like, model kits and stuff like that. Because so I was, like, talking with Rob and, you know, just overhear the conversations going on. And it's like, oh, she's really into this. It's like, oh, my God, really? You're willing? And the interaction between, you know, the guys giving this chick a gift, like, there's hardly, like, any interaction. It's like, oh, you know, like, I know you really like this or whatever, and they're, you know, your birthday or whatever the fuck deal was going on. And she's like, oh, cool, thanks. And, like, that's more or less, like, the extent of it. There may have been a little bit more banter there, but it's like, whoa, man, you know, save the cash for yourself. I understand people got to make a buck these days, but, yeah. You know, I feel shit like that, you know. Women don't get the respect that they deserve, but, you know, at the same time, I don't feel chicks need to be dressing all hot and getting these nerds hot and bothered to spend their good hard-earned money on shit like that. But, you know,
let me lay this on you. So Lou is if anybody who doesn't know Lou from the Star Wars podcast that we do, Lou, I met Lou through my wife, my wife's friend, who's it's her brother-in-law. And he's a good dude. He's my age. We have a lot in common. He loves wrestling, loves science fiction. So we got together. We do the Star Wars podcast. And Lou is a film school graduate as well. So he's into all this obscure shit. And the guy who directed Toxic Avenger was actually there today.
Yeah.
And so the booth that they were part of was
Kaufman.
Yeah. But the booth, he had to wait like an hour and a half for this guy. He was late.
Yeah.
So like, but there was a chick, a porn star. Apparently, she was coming out of porn star.
Yeah.
And she was dressed up like a zombie, and she was like, hey. And every poor kid that went to the booth, she's like, hey, what's your name? Guy's like, my name is Carlos. Hey, Carlos. How are you liking the show so far? He's like, I like the show a lot. She's like, well, you like these books here? She's like, yeah. And she, all of a sudden, well, I do porn. You want to buy my book? Like, every person that went to the booth, she stopped. And no matter what age they were, this one kid was like 16. She was trying to fucking...
She wasn't dressed like a trauma character. She was just like...
She was dressed like a zombie trauma character. Like, it was like, you know, she had like that, like a zombie, I guess, Wonder Woman, if you want to call it that. She was all skanked out, you know?
Okay.
And she wasn't even that good looking. Like, I saw her picture. I was like, I wouldn't fuck her with, you know, with Lou's dick and his friend pushing, you know? But it was like, I understand, like you said, you want to make a buck. I get it.
Yeah.
But don't like force porn on fucking people. I mean, these are all fanboys and fangirls. They don't pay for porn.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of them are just going to say yes because they don't want to feel bad for saying no to somebody. Like, fuck that, you know?
Yeah.
Because I know, was it? I've heard in the past, like, you know, some, you know, I don't know if New York Comic Con is one of them, but I know some places have been cracking down on booth babes. I don't know what the whole, you know, scenario is, but I don't know. I just kind of feel like it's like a very, I would say turnouts for these kind of things are, you know, very vulnerable people. So who may or may not have the money to spend on what they're spending. So I don't know. That's just me. You know, I don't really feel, I'm not the kind of person who wants to push something on somebody to make a buck, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't do it,
man. If you've got a good enough product, people are going to come to you anyway, especially with good marketing.
Yeah, I just, you know, I was on my feet for like 6 hours, and I'm, you know, 20 years ago, that's great, but now not so much.
That fucking sucks.
But
I'm not even as old as you.
but Dave, you know what? I was smart this year. I actually went on the website and planned out like an itinerary of all the booths I wanted to visit.
And you found out where they are. And...
Oh yeah. I got everything. Like I got swag for Mikey. I got him. They had a Mad. Remember Mad Libs?
Yeah.
He loves Mad Libs. So I got, there was a Mad Libs booth. So I got him three of those. I got him a bunch of comic books. I got him a bunch of swag. I got wifey some swag. She's a big Monster Squad fan. I bought her a Monster Squad t-shirt. This is great. You would definitely appreciate this. Back in the 70s and even in the 60s and early 80s, when you went to a movie, they had programs.
Yeah.
There was a guy selling original programs.
Oh, nice.
And they were like $2, $5, $10. Some of them were really expensive. But my wife was in a production of Grease 2 last year.
Grease 2?
Yeah. So I bought her the Grease 2 program. And Lou was in the production too, so he bought himself one too.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. You know what? That's what I like about the Comic-Con. It's got a lot of cool shit. Let's see. Metal Blade Records is still around. They had a booth.
Well, I know they got bought out by like Warner Brothers. Or they did some work with Warner Brothers. Yeah. So.
Hold on a second. I see Matty Legend in the room. Say hello to Matt.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
So, Metal Blade was cool. And like, she gives you a sampler of the CDs, right? And I'm looking at I saw Ahmed Saint. I was like, Ahmed Saint? That's fucking John Bush used to sing in Anthrax. And she goes, yeah. She goes, you know your music. I'm like, yeah, you don't have to try to sell this to me, sweetness. I already have the King Diamond. I have this. I have that. I'm out of the death metal. She goes, but she goes, no problem. She goes, then take all my stickers then. I was like, cool. It's cool. I said, I'm so glad you got. And she was selling like Slayer, some Slayer vinyl. I said, I don't have a record player, but I would, if I had a record player, I would definitely buy, Slayer, but I have all the Slayers anyway. But yeah, it was a good experience. I would go back. Like I only knew I was going like 4 days ago when Rob hit me up. But if I get the press passes next year, I may go 2 days in a row and take Mikey to the kids' day on Sunday. But it's a little overwhelming, man. 200,000 people are expected this year.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
and from what I hear, they're actually looking to make the New York Comic Con like the Comic Con and move.
Oh, not San Diego.
Yeah, that's what I heard like a year ago. I don't know what the deal is. Like, I don't really follow up too much on this kind of stuff, but I hear things. So, but I can see that because New York is New York. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's pretty organized. They're lenient. I didn't know they were lenient back in the day. You couldn't bring food. Now you can. I wish I would have known that. So instead of paying $8 for a fucking pretzel and soda.
Oh shit.
But now I know better. Surfer did not have his satchel. He had a duffel bag. And I was telling Lee and Double A today, I really felt bad for Surfer a little bit. I told Surfer next year, if we're all still friends and we're still doing this, I'll have him shack up here for a day or two. Yeah. So he doesn't have to fucking schlep around and go back to Philadelphia every night,
Tell him to get his fucking mechanical wheelchair with him.
Yeah, maybe I'll get him one of those. Maybe I'll get him a mechanical. Maybe I'll rent one for him. But yeah, man, it was a good day. Very, very, very long. Very draining.
It was a new day.
It was a new day. I'm ready for some fucking thermal throwbacks, some Mets baseball in about 20 minutes, and bed because I have a long weekend ahead of me. But other than that, let's get into some news.
Yeah, actually, a lot's gone down since last episode.
Yeah. You want to do NXT or you want to do?
Well, I actually got like a little funny story to tell everybody. I got two things. I also want to do like a little review of the Jake the Snake Roberts, the resurrection.
Yeah, that too. Oh, Rick's in the room from Talk Brunch. Yeah, Rick, I did grab food on the way out. I went to the McDonald's afterwards, grabbed some Mickey D's, and I walked from like 11th Avenue all the way to the Manhattan Center and got a train to Penn Station and got a bus home. So yeah, I did save a little money by buying some lunch today. So Dave went to the Jake the Snake movie last week.
Yeah, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts. They're showing it, if you're in Manhattan, I believe they're still showing it. It's at AMC Empire 25, which is down on 42nd Street, which used to be known for its movie theaters.
Yep.
Now it's Dave and Buster's and Madame Tussauds Wax Museum and some other bullshit that nobody gives two fucks about. That's if they're right. actually from the area.
That's right.
And I'm always kind of like caught between how I feel about that theater in particular. Well, I think it's like one of two movie theaters on that block now. But of course, since it's in Times Square, all the ticket prices are out of fucking control.
Mm-hmm.
But they also show quite a bit of like international films and special treats like this. You know, they'll get like a week run, but they'll also have some like some big name movie stars and those Hollywood films. Why am I like stumbling over the easiest term during this entire thing? But anyway, by chance, Marquise Rage posted up on the throwbacks page, Diamond Dallas page, Jake the Snake Roberts, and Scott Hall were going to be at some of the screenings over last weekend, which was also happening during the MSG show.
Right.
So I was like, well, obviously I'm not going to the MSG show. I didn't buy tickets because I already have the network. And to be quite honest, if they're just going to show it on the network, might as well watch it there because I know ticket prices are going to be insane. So it's like, all right, let me catch the movie, hopefully get to, meet some of these dudes and, go home and then watch the MSG show. And that's exactly what I did. And, movie was really good. I think I've seen quite a bit of it online. Like I'm pretty sure they've shown a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of, but they've shown quite a bit of clips online. So, I know the director, Steven Yeun, it's like his first film out. DDP, for years was talking about this film, and this has been, they've been filming it since Jake, even before Jake, reached out to Diamond Dallas Page that he wanted to follow through with DDP Yoga and, get his life back on track. So, follows Jake the Snake Roberts from pretty much I guess the time that like him and Paige were starting to get back together. And if I remember correctly, actually the thing that worked out for Jake, which was interesting because it's not mentioned in the movie, is that Paige gave him his DDP yoga program and all that, and gave him the diet tips and all that kind of stuff. And the thing that worked for Jake was that he actually started eating healthier first and started dropping some weight. It made him feel good. And then he decided to take a page on his offer to, move into his house and stuff like that. And it just goes through all the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs that Jake the Snake Roberts, went through, to get to where he's at now. And, man's had the goal of being entered in the, I believe it was the 2014 Royal Rumble. And ended up, of course, going into the Hall of Fame that year with Ultimate Warrior and Scott Hall. And also, there is a bit of dash of Scott Hall in the film. So if you're wondering if they touch up on that, they do. Really well done. My only, gripes with it was the fuckers in the theater didn't project it right in there. There's like some scenes with some subtitles and they weren't showing up on the screen, so I was a little bit mad about that.
Subtitles? What, are you speaking junky?
No, there's like some moments where like when Jake was in the I forgot what the situation was, but Jake ended up having a few beers and then he just randomly ended up at the Atlanta airport. So they had to go and grab him and bring him back to the house. And there's like certain situations where he's obviously not mic'd or whatever the situation may be, where they're not going to get the audio, crystal clear and all that. So there's certain sometimes where they're making phone calls to one another, and you can't hear them perfectly. So there's subtitles on the screen. So when they were projecting it on the screen, they didn't project it right, so I couldn't read the subtitles. But I'm sure once it comes out on Blu-ray and digital and all that, you'll be able to see the way it was meant to be seen. But overall, it was really good. Turnout was great. It wasn't packed, but it was more than three quarters filled. Jake the Snake wasn't there, which I was a little disappointed. But DDP, Scott Hall were there.
So
and they did a little Q&A afterwards, which actually I got to ask a question. I actually got to talk with them a little bit, thank DDP for putting together DDP Yoga, because obviously I've had some great results from using it. And, I just asked Scott Hall, it wasn't brought up too much in the movie, but I know it was brought up a bit in the ESPN documentary. So I asked him, how has, your relationship with your son and him going into New Japan, being part of Bullet Club, how has that, impacted you for, your recovery?
Right.
So, he didn't really get, he didn't answer the question fully, but he just said, my son was offered, this position at New Japan, and it's like, even though he's cleaning other people's clothes and, making people their food at the end of the night, he's getting to live for free in Japan. He's not getting paid a lot, but he's getting paid something.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he's fine. He's more than fine.
And plus, he's endorsed by the fucking, hands down,
the hottest stable
in pro wrestling in the last decade. So,
and that's exactly what he more or less said, up on stage. And so it was really cool. And I thought it was funny because they set up the gimmick table, outside after the movie's over with. And I'm a wrestling fan. I've been to the shows, I've been to the conventions, I know this shit ain't free. And there's a bunch of people kind of getting mad because, they're asking for money. I went to the ATM before coming here for a reason.
Yeah.
So, I got a photo with the guys. They were extremely nice. DDP was more than gracious with, talking with me, and, same thing with Scott Hall, just bullshitting a little bit. So they were super cool guys. It's kind of fast paced, so I didn't get to talk with them for too long, but, I got to, say more than I was expecting to, talk with them about and all that. So, it was a good night.
Yeah.
Headed back, caught the, MSG, pay-per-view, or whatever you want to call it, live broadcast on the network.
It wasn't terrible.
Better than whatever's normally on TV.
Yeah,
I liked it better than Night of Champions. I liked it better than most of the live events, that have been on the network for WWE.
Right.
For their brand. I enjoyed it much more, and I just felt like even the opener with Sheamus and Randy Orton.
They made it a tag team match. Which
the tag team match.
God.
I thought that was good.
Thank God.
It just kind of felt like, it just felt more laid back. It felt like these guys weren't, there wasn't too much pressure on their shoulders to, do television. You know what I mean?
It was just, they were supposed to fight each other, which you mentioned in the pre-show. And I was like, man, and I'm so glad they made it a tag team match. It made a world of difference.
Yeah, it made a world of difference. It just seemed like the fans were more into it. I can't remember all the matches offhand, but even the DQ finish with Dudley's and New Day, I actually enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that a lot too.
I'm sure a lot of people were pissed off, but it's just the fact that one, they actually interviewed the Dudleys beforehand. They're kind of at this legends status almost, where they're probably not going to get much mic time on television. I don't think they even, I haven't been watching Raw, but I can guarantee they probably didn't get much time to talk. But they gave them time to talk on the MSG broadcast. The match went much better than the Night of Champions match, and the fact that they were putting over, like, this is going to be, this could possibly be the Dudleys' 10th World Tag Team title reign, and then it ends on a DQ. Like, that for me, that's just, like, something I got to laugh at, like, once it happens. Like, this is perfect. Because, you know, they hit the 3D, you know, they did everything, and, you know, the fact that it was just kind of, a rug was pulled under them, was just so cool. So, yeah. Ted Turner's telling me that Vince was behind all this, which, you know, I'm not too surprised, but, you know, I felt the show went off more seamlessly than a Raw or anything like that. You know, a lot of people, you know, give Vince and, you know, writers a lot of shit for, you know, how the TV shows pull out, you know, and all that. But shit, man, how long has this dude been doing these shows for? You know, how long, you know, how many sponsors do they got to make happy doing these shows for you know, house show? MSG, New York City. You know, what can I say? It's more stripped down. It's not a big production. And it just had a, you know, more fun, you know, vibe to it than other stuff. And I felt like there was more build up, more proper build up for these matches than other pay-per-views. Even the Big Show versus Brock Lesnar match had a nice build up.
Yeah, the only match that didn't have any build up was the cage match, because it was like, you know,
I didn't even know that was happening, to be honest.
I mentioned it on the pre-show that, you know, how, you know, cage matches were basically matches to end feuds.
Yeah.
These guys weren't really feuding. This was just an attraction for the crowd. So
yeah, well, what was that? I remember going to my last MSG, my first and last MSG house show was before WrestleMania 21. And I think the main event was supposed to be just a tag match. I think it was Hunter and Flair versus I want to say it was like Orton and Batista. And it was just supposed to be a tag match, but when I got to the show, it was a cage match. So, you know, I feel nowadays that the cage, like you said, I think you put it perfectly, like the cage is more of like an attraction now.
It's not the blow off anymore.
No. And, you know, to be honest, I've been honest the entire time, but
no,
anyway.
Not you.
But I just kind of feel with the gimmick matches of today, like ladder matches, Hell in a Cell and stuff like that, I just kind of feel like the cage has been eclipsed at this point. And, you know, I don't want to say that it's not as cool or as fun as it used to be, because that cage match was still good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I just don't feel like, you know, the intention of the cage initially was not just to end a feud, but it was to ensure that no one else would get into the ring to interfere. Because, you know, when that cage match was built, there'd be tons of DQs, tons of interferences, everything. And so I just think nowadays, you know, it is an attraction. And if they want to keep people out of the ring, they're going to do a Hell in a Cell, which doesn't work. They're going to do Elimination Chamber, which doesn't work. Somebody's going to find a way to get in there anyway.
Don't even get me started, man. I just, the ending, I knew Seth Rollins was going to retain, obviously.
Well, the match was for the U.S. title, wasn't it?
Right.
For the,
well, yeah, I knew he was going to win, but not the U.S. title.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. The whole Kane thing just annoys the shit out of me. Corporate Kane, Demon Kane, stop with the Kane. Get him off. Stop.
This time around, I actually enjoyed it. You know, I haven't been following, you know, anything that's been going on. I do know that they're doing like the split personality thing. I don't know. It's kind of rubbing off on me. I'm starting to like it, but we'll see where it goes. You know, I feel for guys like you and such, like, it's, you know, the storylines, there's no, there's not even a good shred of decent reasoning behind any of it. There's nothing,
yeah,
there's no rationality.
Right, so. That's my point. I love Kane. I think Kane was a great character.
Yeah.
But, like, in 2015, if you're not telling me a story with the near 50-year-old guy that has now he's bipolar again? Like, I don't, it's not fitting. If you, you know, they're probably, they're setting this up probably for Triple H and Seth Rollins, which, you know, now with Cena taking some time off, if that's going to happen, then Triple H is going to have to start interjecting himself to the point where it's right like near the Royal Rumble. And I mean, they have time to do it, but you know, you're going to have to phase Kane out eventually. You know, you're going to have to like, what's going to be the do all end all? Like, you know, Seth Rollins is not going to beat Kane. You know, he's not going to beat Kane. I mean, Kane's not going to win the title. I don't think. I hope not. If they give Kane the strap at this point, that'd be a bad move, man. That'll be a bad move. Cardinals wrapping up game one of their division series. Mets are up next. I'm all stoked. But anyway, I digress. I just don't like the story. And, you know, you want to enjoy the character for nostalgia reasons? That's fine, dude. I get where you're coming from with it. I just don't see the story at all. There's nothing. it's not even compelling. I want to just mention TNA. I don't want to shit on TNA. I really don't want to. But I got really upset on I'm sorry. Are we done with the MSG stuff?
Yeah, more or less. You know, only thing I can really say is you know, the highlight of the well, I don't want to say the highlight. I just want to say the main focus was, of course, Brock Lesnar versus Big Show. And I don't know, left a little bad taste in my mouth that they actually did a good build up for the match. I knew exactly that was, you know, what was going to happen was what was going to happen. And, you know, with Brock Lesnar, you know, German suplexing the shit out of Big Show and then, you know, F5-ing him like twice.
That was fun. I had no problem with that. And they have history.
Yeah, you know, I knew that was going to happen. I just, you know, part of me, I don't know. I still really enjoyed the match. I'm kind of caught in between. You know, I really enjoyed what they did, but at the same time, kind of wanted a little bit more. But, you know, at this point, what happened was probably the best route for them to go because they're building up to, you know, him against Undertaker in Hell in a Cell, you know. In the past, what was it, when Lesnar came back, he was losing to Hunter, he was losing to Cena, you know, granted, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, when he came back, he was coming back from UFC.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's you know, I'm grateful that they're making him, like, this unstoppable animal.
Yeah.
Which he should have always been.
Yeah, I it was good, except for the cage match. I enjoyed it, everything was good,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a Lee Champion checking in from Freaks, Neff, and Geeks. How are you, sir?
What's up, Lee?
Big Lee Champion. I was talking to him earlier today.
Sup, sup.
Yay. But I was, I might go to the house show the day after Christmas. There's a house show in the garden. I might go. I got like, you know.
Wait, when's the show?
December 26th.
Hmm.
So. I don't know, I'm thinking about
day
going.
After Christmas.
I'm thinking about taking Mikey's and be on vacation, you know?
Oh, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. I want to talk about TNA real quick. Not really TNA, but I want to talk about Matt Hardy. And I know I saw the match, finally. And I saw the match after I said something on Facebook on Monday morning. And I want to just kind of, not defend myself, but I want to tell everybody why I did what I did on social media. So Monday night, I'm reading, like, just hate about Matt Hardy winning the belt. He won the title at TNA. It was a three-way. It was EC3, himself, and Galloway, the fucking Scottish guy. What the hell's his name? McIntyre. He used to be McIntyre.
Reba McIntyre.
Reba McIntyre. So he beats Reba. He beats EC3. And he gets the belt in his hometown. His family's there, his dad, his kid. His brother was the referee. And, like, the fucking marks, like, just not even, like, first it was, oh, why are you giving him the belt for? Like, I know Rage had, like, 17 articles up. Yeah, whatever. And I take Rage's rage with, like, you know, a grain of salt, obviously. But but the hate that was coming on Twitter and Facebook, like taking personal shots at Matt Hardy. They took personal shots at Shane Helms, who showed up on the card. Like, I want to explain something to people, all right? For you fucking young marks who listen to these shows and who, you know, who watch wrestling, and because you have a computer, you think you know everything, I want to just give you the human side of all of this, okay? These guys are now in the twilight of their career. And not even that, they're not even that old. They're like my age. But however, they've been wrestling since they're 16, so it's their twilight. If these guys can legit still go, and they want to make a living, you know, leave them alone. You don't have to watch. Don't fucking watch it. If you don't like TNA, don't watch it. If you don't like WWE, don't fucking watch it. Lucha, ROH, Beyond, you know, Dragon Gate. If you don't fucking like it, don't watch it. Don't shit on these guys. They're performers. It's like if you were in a show or a comedian, he gets heckled all the time. At a people get heckled. Like, it's the same fucking thing, man. Like, it's the same concept. These are entertainers. Leave them alone. Like, if they did a bad job in the ring, then granted, then they leave themselves open for any kind of criticism.
Yeah.
You know? But the match was solid. Like, it was okay. You know? What happened
in that? I'm kind of surprised because, you know, with Matt Hardy, it's not like he's gotten the same opportunities that his brother's gotten.
Right. That's my point, Dave. They made him ECW champion when he took ECW over. That was a terrible, terrible fed at that point. Then they had that thing with him and Lita and Edge, which was fantastic. Like, I loved that when
it was real.
Right. And you know what? They all were adults about it. They're like, listen, okay, here's what happened. I left you for you, but now in storyline, we're all going to fight each other. And you know what? To his credit, he fucking performed like he bumped better. His promos were better. And again, I'm not a Matt Hardy guy at all.
Technically, what was it? He was fired or let go or one of the, you know, something. And the fans literally brought him back because Matt Hardy went to ROH during that period.
He did.
Had some amazing matches, like against, I remember, like Christopher Daniels, he had a match against. I forgot some of the other guys, but he had amazing matches. And as soon as he was in ROH, he got plucked back out and brought to WWE. And fans ate that shit up. And, you know, I'm not a Matt Hardy fan, but the guy works his ass off.
Right, exactly.
Regardless of, you know, what his personal life is like.
That's another thing, too.
That's completely unrelated.
His personal life, though, listen, we've all talked about his extracurricular activities. He fell on some hard times, and then he met this chick, this Rebbe Rima Sky, whatever the hell her name was.
Reba McEntire.
No, he fought Reba McEntire. He didn't fight his wife.
Oh, okay.
Rebbe Sky.
Yeah, Rebbe right. Sky.
Okay. Right, but you know what? They got their shit together, okay? He got clean. They had a kid. Like, this is what happens when you're a performer. Actors, actresses, musicians, they go through all this. They can't take the pressure of performing. So they turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to domestic violence. They, you know, all these guys. Look at Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist. He fucking hanging out with black hookers in parking lots and getting arrested for DUIs. Like, it's not even funny, you know? But because they're in the public eye, because they're who they are, the marks have their targets on them because they have computers in their mom's basement, you know? So I feel like you want to critique the match, because that's what you and I do on a weekly basis, and the rest of the wrestling shows do, okay? However, you're going to fucking dog his character because he won a title, a fake fictional title? Fucking people need a life, man. Get yourselves a new hobby. Go outside. Go for a walk. You probably might need it. I saw so many people at Comic-Con today. Go for a fucking walk. And that's pretty much it, man. I just wanted to show some love to Sugar Shane Helms because I loved his character. I loved the Hurricane. I loved him as a performer, and I enjoy Matt Hardy's matches. I think he didn't get any props as a solo wrestler, you know.
Yeah, you know, I just feel like you know, we talked about this I think last week or the week before, you know, with Sting and all that. It's just kind of, I just feel like, you know, of all people, wrestling fans are
with who, Dave?
Huh?
Well, who were we talking about last week? That guy.
You got me.
Sorry. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But, you know, I just feel like a lot of, you know, fans are getting a little too superficial about certain things. They're getting a little too demanding. And, you know, guys like Matt Hardy, who can perfectly go, I don't know much about what's going on with Sugar Shane Helms, but I'm sure that guy can still go.
He can still
go. One of the shows that we're about to review tonight featured a lot of guys that were considered past their prime and were still doing amazing matches.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And
so.
But you know, I just kind of feel like there's the youth revolution is more at hand now. But you know, I feel for companies like WWE, granted the hardcore fans are, you know, getting satisfied by that, but it's not, I don't think it's really drawing in, you know, numbers for their pay-per-views and stuff like that. Cause I'm still hearing people talking about, you know, they're going to house shows, you know, and, you know, Bumblefuck wherever. And there's like 300 people at a house show, or they're in some other, neck of the woods of America. And, attendance is like less than 10,000 or less than 5,000, you know, that's not really good for something that's, renting out an arena for the night to do a live performance, you know?
Right.
So I don't know how well it's working for WWE. But, you know, I feel, there's a place for these dudes, you know, granted, this may not be the day and time anymore. But, you know, I'll always be supporting these dudes.
Yeah, if I like them, I'll support them. Even if I don't like their character, if they perform well in the ring, I feel like I'm almost obligated now doing this for 3 years to, if I see it, I should critique that. I'm not going to critique him for his, I'm not going to dog him for doing something fictional.
Yeah.
And that's what fans were doing. I think it was disrespectful. You know,
what was it next week? I won't be here next week. Gonna go check out in Manville, of all towns,
Manville, New Jersey. Let's go to Walmart over there.
They have a Walmart there.
They do have Walmart there. My I had family out there at one point, but yeah,
maybe I could do a little shopping there.
Yeah, it's a fine establishment, by the way.
Yes,
Manville, dun dun dun.
Our boys Jaka and Chris Dickinson are gonna be going against the Steiner brothers.
Fuck him.
Next Friday.
No. good.
I know. It's like.
Listen, I want you to, and Chris. I don't know if Chris listens. Whatever.
He's probably not. But anyway,
he's not probably
I'll
not.
Tell
Dickinson that he can walk down the block and ring my bell after his fucking gym session and bring his fucking Mexican partner with him. And they need to come back in studio and grace us with their presence and talking. And I love Jocka. He was a great guy. And Dickinson's a great guy. Dickinson's a cool dude, too.
Chris is just,
he's a busy dude.
He's a bit of a moody guy from my
experience. You tell him, show some love for the local cats and get in like Flynn, all right?
Yeah.
Let's see. And then TNA goes and takes the title away from him. Matt Hardy the next day.
He
relinquishes the title. I don't know what happened. Huh. But now they have it. Billy Corgan had a press conference with Dixie Carter. They're doing some kind of fucking title tournament. Yeah, and they're breaking it up in different regions. So I don't know what the hell is going on with that. But that's going to give Matt Hardy an opening to, because he's not in the tournament. So that's probably going to give him an opening to come back to the E if Jeff can get his shit together. And, you know, so. Either way.
And, you know, TNA needs everything they can at this point.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, yes. I didn't watch all the NXT event from this week. I saw most of it.
What?
Well, dude, you have to understand something. I was wrapped up a lot of work this week. And then yesterday, I just I caught up a little. I watched most of it, and then I watched the ending. So, I mean, I'm not, I'll finish it. From what I saw of it, it was amazing. It was a great card.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Let me tell you something. I don't want to hear about production. Listen, this is what it is. And I just want to, I got a message from Felonious Punk, our boy Felonious. I made a mistake last week. I pronounced Grotto as that English guy.
Grado.
It's Grado. So I apologize to my UK contingent for my misspelling.
Grado, Grotto.
Tomato. Right, yeah. You know how to fucking... Those Euros are. They get all upset and you can't pronounce stuff.
Yeah, you know.
But we're their favorite.
Put
you know,
news where they don't belong.
But we're their favorite, you know, with the OU, you know.
Yeah,
so
fuck them.
I show some love to them. So there you go.
You could show them love. I ain't showing them shit.
Anyway.
Fuck the UK.
I enjoyed the...
They could suck my dick.
Can I finish my
red, white, and blue dick.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
Now, I want to just finish my point. I did enjoy what I saw. I like the fact that they're setting up Joe and Finn Balor. I don't like this.
Doing it so subtly, it's amazing.
Well, yeah. And they just signed the chick that won the TNA British Boot Camp. She's like a hardcore wrestler. They signed her, and then they signed James Storm, who I think made his debut last night for NXT. And you know what? Guys, do me a favor. If you're on the Facebook page and you see an article, just look at the page before you post it, because my cousin and like 17 other people posted the same fucking James Storm article on the throwbacks page. And I was just like, nobody reads the page. I have a friend who I told him this in person, and he got mad at me. I won't mention his name because I won't blow a spot up. He got mad at me. I know he got mad at me, but he wouldn't tell me. Because every time he would post something on the page, someone had just put it up the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So what he does now is he'll bother Shining Wizards Eddie with it. Anything wrestling related, he'll put on Eddie's page. Meanwhile, little does he know, Eddie's getting the same fucking thing anyways. Like, this doesn't matter. It didn't bother Eddie as much as it bothered me.
Yeah, nobody, like, but it's hilarious that, like, they'll post it, but, like, right underneath their post is opposed to that.
Same
so.
Fucking thing. Like, I know.
Just read the fucking page. Like you was... know, I know, I understand. You know, people are trying to be like, oh, I broke the news. Like, you didn't break shit, you know? Yeah. Somebody else made an article and you're posting it, so.
And don't get us wrong, we appreciate all the activity on the page because you guys are amazing. However, you know, when Dave and I are admins and we do like a third of what we do for the show is on our phone. So if I'm sitting there and I have to like approve and delete like fucking the same article 12 times, it's annoying, you know. But that's pretty much it. But just give me your take real quick about the NXT TakeOver.
TakeOver Respect. I thought it was good because, you know, NXT right now, everything that they've been doing, they've been rocking out of the park. Really enjoyed the tournament matches. And I'm glad that they... you know, stuck to this, you know, it was called the Dusty Rhodes, you know, Invitational Tournament or whatever.
Crockett Cup 2015.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to jump right into. It was like the Crockett Cup, Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup Tag Team Tournament. And, you know, I'm glad they just stuck to having it be a tournament. There wasn't any chicanery involved. Like, they just let the Joe, you know, Balor thing just kind of like, they're just giving little hints. And I've watched long enough. I've seen the Mega Powers feud for WrestleMania 5. I've been catching all the hints. And I'm glad that they just had a respectful, you know, tournament with, you know, Joe and Balor winning, as they are the best, the two best guys in the organization at the moment. And, you know, the Rhodes family came out, you know,
classy.
Cody did a nice little speech saying, you know,
classy,
tonight we are all Rhodes. And, you know, it was nice. It was really fitting, you know, to serve for the memory of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, if you will. You know, as he did play a huge part in crafting a lot of these characters,
the development of most of the guys and girls that are top billing on NXT is because of the Dream.
Exactly. You know, this man had a hefty hand in, you know, shaping these young men and women to, you know, for what they are right now and what they will become in the future. So, you know, I thought it was really cool. You know, didn't really have to be any like, you know, there was a lot of makeshift teams, and that's fine. You know, the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup had a lot of makeshift teams as well. You know, Sting and Luger 1-1, Dusty and Nikita 1-1.
They had like 20 and 30 teams at one point.
Yeah,
just throwing people together just to have a tournament. You know,
just to have a big ass tournament.
Yeah, that's fine. And to
get a little into the Samoa Joe Finn Balor, you know, thing. The what they hinted at was, you know, the first match with what the hell is the name of that tag team, Dasher and
the first team they fought.
Yeah,
those guys are they've been a team for a while. I forgot the names already. I'm sorry, guys.
I apologize. It's Dasher and some other dude. Dasher, right. Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet Cupid. Yeah. Anyway, I knew that those guys weren't going to win, but they did a great job working. Balor's leg. I keep wanting to call him Prince Devitt, but he's not that guy anymore. But they kept working the leg. Just a real, you know, nice, you know, throwback type of match. You know, Devitt was kind of like letting his pride get to him and wanting to finish the match. Wasn't really tagging out to Joe.
Gable and Wilder. Thank you, guys.
No, they were in the other match.
They were in the other match?
They were in the I think that they were in the finals.
Gotcha.
Unless I'm no. Corbin and Rhino were in the finals.
Hold on, I have the results here. Hold on.
Yeah.
Jordan
and Gable were
the Mechanics. They called. That's the first match they had. The semifinal. They fought the Mechanics. That's their team name.
Okay. I'm sorry. The Mechanics.
They want to be. Two want to be Arn Anderson's. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You know, two want to be Arn Anderson's. You know, Minnesota Wrecking Crew. All
right.
Them.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, and they were making those comparisons during the match as well. But, you know, they're working Finn Balor's leg. There comes a point during the match where he could barely stand on his own 2 feet. Joe gets tagged in. He's about to hit one of those dudes with the muscle buster. Balor insists on being tagged in. And it was one of those moments like, what? You want to? Okay, there we go. Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder. Thank you. But what's it called? You know, insists on being tagged in. Samoa Joe hits a dude with the muscle buster. Finn Balor comes off the top with the coup de grace, which I believe used to be the Avalanche. And, you know, they get the 1-2-3. And that's the same move that they used on Rhino and Corbin later on in the finals to win the first ever Dusty Rhodes Invitational Tag Team Tournament.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a good card, you know.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
and,
it.
And the cherry on top, the women's NXT Championship was on the line.
Sasha Banks is so good. Taking nothing away from Bayley.
No,
I love fucking Sasha Banks. That chick is. I mean, she's small in stature, but and not really the prototypical wrestler, female wrestler that I dig. I don't even dig women's wrestling, but if I had to dig one, it wouldn't be her in particular. But she has something, dude. She is pretty freaking good in the ring. I enjoy her work a lot.
Well, really struck a chord with me while I was watching that match. You know, I can't say that I have a long history with her, but I do have a history with Sasha Banks. You know, I filmed some of her matches
in Beyond, right?
At Beyond Wrestling,
that's
when
right.
They teamed up with New England Pro Wrestling Academy, which is where we were filming some of our studio matches, and she was there. Yeah, I never really had any like conversations with her. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, everybody gets there, everybody shakes hands and say hi, you know, stuff like that. You know, no big conversation with her. I don't know if we even talked more than just that. But, you know, it's so cool to know that I got to film, you know, some of her matches while she was up and coming, because when that was going down, like, she got picked up by the E within 2 years of her becoming a wrestler. So yeah. That's a really quick transition. So within those first 2 years, you know, I was filming some of her matches. Actually, you can go on YouTube and type in Sasha Banks and Beyond Wrestling. And chances are, I know that there's like one match that's up. It's like a, I think it's like a four corners or like a three-way dance kind of deal. And it's like, intergender. So there's guys versus girls and she's in one of the matches. And if you look, you can see me in the back on a, standing on a ladder wearing my Ultimate Warrior, Warrior University, hoodie with my, Always Believe sweatpants. Repping the Warrior, you know, from the ladder, filming their match. And it's like, shit, you know, like, that is so fucking cool that she's where she's at.
Yeah.
And I got I can say that I've been a part of her, you know, I was a character somewhere in her story. That's,
well, it makes sense. She's a Boston girl, so, I mean, she's from that area. So, I mean, it makes sense that they scooped her up real quick because she was a local girl and she was making some
big moves. Especially New England Pro Wrestling Academy. That's, you know, that's where Triple H was cutting his teeth when it was the Killer Kowalski school.
Yeah, China, Perry Saturn.
And what's it called? Cena's dad is a manager for that group.
Yeah, he's involved in. You see him all over those public access shows that they're on.
Yeah, so yeah. Cena's dad is a part of it. So that's like kind of like one of those schools where, like, hey, if you want to become a wrestler, that's where one of the places you got to go to and bust your ass, because it's a great way to kind of get a direct link into getting into the. You probably won't get signed. You know, there's no guarantee for getting signed to WWE if you go to a certain school. But, you know, there's a good opportunity that you can get seen. If there's a Raw or a SmackDown or something happening, you know, television-wise in the area, they may hit up that school and say, hey, we need some guys, you know, to play security guards or, you know, play, what's it called, like a guy at a computer station or something like that. Cause I know I recently saw Tony Nese get thrown around. I think that was like during a Night of Champions. Tony Nese was,
yeah. Tony Nese is no joke.
Yeah. And I don't know what the hell they had him doing, but he got like thrown like 20 feet in the air by somebody.
Yeah. Rick posted your work. It's with the link in the chat room.
Give it a quick look
of your film there. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
That's it.
That's pretty much it. All right. Any news before we go? Any more news before we get? There's Dave and his with the ladder. Nice sweatpants, killer.
Still got him.
I know you do. Any other news before we take a break?
Oh yeah, I guess like real quick. And I thought this was just a, you know, it's like a funny story, but you can also help out the dude. Sonny Ono actually reached out to me after the show.
Yes.
He sent me a message saying, like, oh, you know, I got a job for your boys. And I'm, like, reading that, like, my boys. What does that mean? And he's like, oh, you know, I got these motorcycles that were owned by Macho Man Randy Savage and Perry Saturn that I want to, you know, get rid of. Do you know of anybody that can, you know, take them off my hands? So, you know, just kind of, like, bypassed it, thinking, you know, like, oh, you know, that probably wasn't meant for me or anything like that. Then, like a few days after that, like, he's like, David, give me a call when you get a chance.
Ah!
I was like, oh.
Uh-oh.
he does an interview for us, so now I have to pay him back.
There you go.
So, you know, I just wrote back to him saying, like, hey, you know, I don't really have any, you know, contacts for memorabilia or, you know, for vehicles. So I don't, you know, I don't know if this was intended for me, but I don't think I can be, like, a big help. So he's just like, oh, yeah, give me a call anyway. I'm like, oh, shit. So actually during the NXT pay-per-view, I give him a call. He's like, oh, you know, I know you don't have any contacts, but I'd rather just, you know, let you know just in case. And He actually told me, like, he was, like, telling me some, like, funny stories. It was actually, like, a pleasant call. And he was telling me specifically about the Macho Man motorcycle. He's like, you know, this is a story. Basically, he hired somebody to make a custom bike for him. Macho Man, you know, heads out, you know, meets up with the, you know, the guy or the company or whatever that, you know, put the motorcycle for him, the Harley Davidson. And, gets on the bike. And he's like, oh, where's the reverse on this?
Oh, shit.
And he's serious. And apparently, you know, Macho Man had not ridden a Harley or motorcycle at this point in his life.
Obviously.
So he gets on, tries to use it, dumps it on the ground, gets off, and says, fuck it, I don't want it.
Ah!
So, meanwhile, he actually already paid for the bike. It's registered in Macho Man's name. It has Macho Man on it. It's a custom bike. You know, he just basically told me, like, hey, you know, I know you don't know anybody yet, you know, right now, but if you run into somebody that's interested in this kind of stuff, or if you know of any charities that can, you know, raffle off this bike.
See, now that may be something that I can be involved in, because, you know, my wife does leukemia lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
If they can raffle off a motorcycle, that'd be great.
Yeah, you know, if there's people that, you know, can, you know, put down the money for this, because I'm sure him shipping it and all that kind of stuff is going to be, you know, pain in the ass.
He doesn't live in Iowa. So.
He lives in Mason City, Iowa.
Right.
So, you know, this isn't like something like, oh, you know, he's going to take $5 for it. No, it's not going to happen. It's not the case. Like,
no,
if you have any serious inquiries about this Macho Man motorcycle from Sonny Ono. And he told me he's got some other memorabilia that he's looking to, you know, part with. Basically, he was just kind of like relaying to me, like, hey, you know, I'm planning on moving and I don't want to take this stuff with me. So,
all right, well, definitely tell him to send us a list of stuff. And if we can, you know, there's somebody out there who will definitely.
Yeah, you know, but apparently this seems like to be the big one. If you know any charities that, you know, can auction off something big like this, custom Macho Man motorcycle that's registered in his name, so it's legit. And he also told me that Eric Bischoff more or less kind of pawned it off him. So
awesome.
So if you know any charities or anybody that's seriously interested in this, you know, we can get you in touch with Sonny Ono. He's a great guy. I can vouch for him, obviously. So I know that there's nothing underhanded because all those Asians got, you know, something up their sleeve.
Nah, he's a genuine dude, and he's been nothing but graceful. And he came on and gave us a really good interview. People are still messaging us about it.
Yeah.
So I want to thank Sonny, as always. You know, and we told him he's always welcome to come back on. I know he has a bunch of stories for us, so.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. So anything else, or?
No, that's it. So, yeah.
All right, so let's take a quick break. Plug some stuff, and then we'll do Kick-Ass Nitro for you.
Sweet.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, but live on RantEMRadio.com, and right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The following is a paid announcement.
So, what do you want to do?
I don't know.
What do you want to do?
You boys a bit bored? Snap me to it! Snap me to a Slim Jim! Tear to the spice! Leave me to the taste!
Hey, noise! Antique! Snap me to it! Need a little excitement? Snap me to a Slim Jim!
Convicted for tasteless advertising, Joe Greed of Westway Ford languishes in jail.
It's the Dingo Warrior!
Sent by my Legion of Warriors to set Joe Greed free! Let's boogie! No, come on!
How can I ever repay you?
With the new car.
Like this new 87 Yugo for only $87 down, it's yours for just $87 a month.
What a pal!
Bubba Westway Ford.
Westway Ford.
Airport Freeway at MacArthur and...
Yes, wrestling-news.com. That's right, wrestling-news.com. Check out the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show every Monday live at 11:15, right after Monday Night Raw. Join Don, Tony, and my pal Kevin Castle as they just do it like they've been doing it for almost a decade. So check them out, wrestling-news.com. Doing it big, doing it New York style, wrestling-news.com.
Every Friday, the 80s and 90s are back on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio, The Jury transports you back to the days of Walkmans, VHS, arcades, and malls. Covering the best in pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror. From reviews to interviews and everything in between, we want you to get on board every Friday and travel back to the last old school generation. The Midnight Jury is a production of WLWStudios.com and a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing. As
play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe!
Not even.
He said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog, but I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Now he's more of a man than Rage.
Wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Wax.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show.
That was all right. So disrespectful.
Alright.
Nah, Steve, I can't have you.
That's
you,
why your girl's, about, like, you that's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show. Every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, this is Innovative Selfie, Sonny Ono, on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and it's the best information on professional wrestling.
Yeah, buddy.
When he steps out on the floor,
little Disco Inferno for you.
Oh God, yeah. Who was so over, but apparently so hated by everyone in the back.
Yeah, he plays a pivotal role in this episode of Monday Night Show. Before we get into anything else, just real quick, tomorrow night wrestling call-in show with Mr. Will I Am Morgan at 11 p.m. There will be no What Are You Reading comic book show this Sunday. Surf will be recuperating, soaking his feet, I'm sure.
Onions.
Yeah. And coverage for Hell in a Cell is October 25th at 7 p.m. Don't forget, our boys talk brunch now on Wednesday nights. Check that out on The Rant. New Midnight Jury's out tonight. Go check that out on the Shining Wizards Network. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
On everything else, I don't think it's... New Thumbstick Ninjas, I think, is out, too. Go get that. Support our boys. Support everybody that we're a part of, because they're amazing people. So,
because we love them.
We do love them all. We do. Are you ready for your throwback, David?
I'm ready.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
That's right. Tonight's throwback, sponsored by the Seven Line, who gave me these fucking fresh threads for the divisional series for the Mets. So, they're not giving us anything, but I just want to plug them anyway. They sell all cool Mets gear, so go to the Seven Line, check them out. Wearing a championship shirt right now, I'm watching the game. All right. So, Nitrober continues.
Nitrober,
you will not be here for the next Nitrober. But
I'll be back for the following Nitrober.
You'll be back for the following Nitrober.
Yes.
But that's fine, because we'll hold it down either way. Tony C. mentioned that he wanted to call in tonight and give his 2 cents about this episode. So, of course, Tony C. is...
Ooh, Black Hammer's going to call in.
Yeah, Black Hammer's always, always welcome on our show, because he's our brother.
Absolutely.
And he's the main man, the Black Hammer and White Lightning. And, of course, Tony C. is the co-host of The Rant every Tuesday night. And, of course, he's a WCW homer, so...
Yes.
So we always like, when we do WCW, Tony likes to chime in and give his 2 cents. And again, it's all good. So if he calls in, God bless. If not, he's asked out. But that's then. This is now Monday Nitro, October 9th, 1995, from Chicago in the United Center. They're live from Chicago, the best 1 hour show on television today, as Eric Bischoff would say.
Yeah.
Tonight we have Sting and Shark, Flair Anderson in the cage, and then all of a sudden as he's doing this, they turn to all three of them, Mongo, Eric, and Brain, having Chicago Bears jerseys, and Brain having a question mark on his.
You know, I gotta put it out there right from the get-go. This has to be like probably one of the worst Bobby the Brain Heenan commentaries I've ever heard.
You know the thing with Bobby Heenan, and it's funny you say that, because I was actually at one point this week thinking the same thing, and I answered my own question, and I think maybe if you hear what I have to say, you might agree with me. You don't have to, of course, but I think when Bobby Heenan has a bad time somewhere in the day, or he doesn't like what's going on in his earpiece, he's a totally different person. Because that only happened in WCW. Bobby Heenan never did that on fucking WWF programming. Never.
It's been like, how can I word it? You know, sometimes like the worst Brain performances on a WWF, whether it be like a Coliseum home video or just some random match thrown up on primetime or an MSG house show, they're not as bad as, this episode, this was a great episode of Nitro, but it just seemed like once he was in WCW, it was definitely big change compared to WWF. Heenan has voiced his grievances for ages now. If you need to hear why he didn't like WCW, just listen to any shoot that he did. He just didn't like it there. He didn't like Schiavone. He didn't like anything that was happening.
Yeah.
He even directly admits it. He more or less just kind of went there because it was guaranteed pay. He was going to get health insurance. Actually, one of the first things that he did after he got his WCW gig was he had neck surgery, which, I forgot when the initial neck problem started happening. I think it may have happened early in his WWF run, or maybe just before he hopped over from AWA. It's like one of the two. So he's been suffering with these neck problems for a very long time. Didn't have the health insurance through WWF to get it done. So once he, had the opportunity to go to WCW, that was one of the first things that he got done. He just had the surgery done.
And I'm not saying he did it all the time, but this was one of those instances where he was a dick, and and it just didn't look right. And I'm kind of glad because I have that on my notes, and all my notes are on scrap paper from work because I was jotting stuff down as I was working and watching at the same time.
So. Yeah, well, what was it? We got Ted Turner in the chat room you know, saying Heenan was unprofessional. You know,
I wouldn't say that. I just
no, because I look at it this way. You know, if somebody else is jerking him around at his job, at something that he loves doing, I don't really think it's like, you know, I know it's like a, how can I word it? You know, it doesn't help the fans who are watching the show.
Right. Yeah. But it ruins the experience, you know?
Yeah. But you know, this is something that I only noticed watching it today. I watched it earlier in the week, but I watched it again today. And I was like, oh man, like he doesn't really have any like good zingers and you know, stuff like that. So
yeah,
It wasn't the worst. There could have been other more unprofessional things done. We got Tony C. Blackhammer on the line, on the hotline.
TC3 in the building.
Yes, sir. What's going on, my dudes?
What's up, brother? How you been?
Hey, man. Taking it easy. How about you guys?
Long day. Very, very, very long day.
I heard.
Very long day. But, you know, it's nice to spend a day off doing absolutely nothing. Like, you know, that doesn't involve work, you know?
Yeah, so, can't beat that with a stick.
Yeah, man. And got to meet Surfer. That was interesting. Good time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, man. It was good. You know, he's...
Did he have on his You Can't See Me shirt?
No, he had on a Star Wars shirt, but...
I'm sure
you can see that.
Oh, no, I saw it. Oh, I saw it, all right. I got pissed off, though. I was telling the guys in the beginning, Tony, that...
You heard me?
All right.
Yeah.
I was like, dude... You know, I had to wait on this fucking line. I didn't want to go to this thing in the first place, but I figured, you know, I'm hanging out with Surfer. Let me get it, you know, and I just, that was the whole, honestly, one of the selling points of me buying that ticket from Robbie D was going to see Surfer. You know what I'm saying? I was going to go see Surfer anyway, just to hang out with him for a few minutes. And I come to find out, I wouldn't be, even if I didn't have a ticket, I couldn't get in now. That's a new policy that you couldn't get into by the front door, A, and B, the press people go to the press lounge. They get in before everybody else gets in. So he was already in the building, and I got there 40 minutes before the doors opened, and my man was already in the lounge chilling. So so shout out to him.
Barrett had his bunion soaking.
Yeah, he poor that dude. that dude needs some help, man. I gotta take care of
it. He's a piece of work, man.
He's a wonderful human being. And you know what? He's everything I expected him to be.
And more.
So I'm kind of.
You saw how he sleeps on at night. I posted that picture on Facebook of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of disturbed by that. I wish he didn't put that up there. I was like, where the hell did he find this? This is so fucking gross.
You know what's funny? Tony seldom posts anything like that. Like we're the ones doing the picture.
No, that was just like as
so when yeah. Tony put something up, it's got to be special. That was definitely special.
Not only that, I had to give like,
you guys,
but
I you guys a personal look in the Surfer's life, man.
I bet
he gets down, man.
I was just trying to think of like who the hell took that photo in the first place, and second of all, how did that? Like, what's the story behind that photo? That was just so gross.
Oh, man.
The story is that's how he cozies up to, you know, a good C-Nation flick, you know, 12 rounds.
12 rounds. The Marine 6. The Marine 6, right?
No, no, that's starring,
that's The Miz, right? I'm sorry. Wrong.
Yeah,
that's the one that started. They got one with Ambrose in it, whichever.
Oh, jeez.
I heard that with Ambrose was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
I heard, he's like a good actor. From what I saw from that the Terminator commercial for WWE UK,
you know what we gotta do? We gotta do like a Mystery Science Theater thing with these movies, and do like a round table because we got guys like Maddie Legend and Eric. They have their own little group on Facebook, and they post all these cheesy fucking fight movies. So yeah. I'm thinking, like, we need to do, like, a Mystery Science Theater type stuff with, and we can critique all these movies.
That would be hilarious.
Dude, it's how awesome.
It holds barred.
Yeah, like, we did, suits. Yeah. Who? I'm sorry, Dave, who was that? Who was that? Uh-oh. That guy.
Yep. uttered that name in so long, so.
Oh, AKA man. Z Gangsta.
All right. Oh, I'm getting confirmation from Maddie Legend that Ambrose is worse than Vanilla Ice and Cool as Ice, so that's pretty bad.
Nice.
So he actually did see the movie, so.
That's why we have Maddie Legend on our team, because. Because
he's willing to watch these shitty-ass movies.
He takes for the team all the time.
I apologize if that picture came out of nowhere.
No, dude. It just came
out of nowhere for me. I wasn't expecting
Tony, that. Tony, I always look forward to your postings. I'm sorry. I can't. Dave, on the other hand, not so much. Me, I'm a fan, so.
I enjoy Black Hammer's post, but not that. I didn't know that much about Surfer's life outside of...
All right. So Tony's calling in, not the rag on Surfer, to talk about Monday Night Show, October 9th, 1995, from Chi-Town. So we just established that the jerseys are terrible. Bobby Heenan's having a bad night already, if Mongo didn't make it worse. But Bobby Heenan's having a bad night. Sting is having a bad night. Sting comes out and says he has the solution to solve the problem between Lex Luger and the Macho Man Randy Savage. At this point, it's at a, you know, Savage thinks that Luger is part of Dungeon of Doom, and he's not on Team WCW side, and nobody from the Dungeon's attacking him, but everybody else gets jacked up. So we'll get into their little spat in a little while. But Sting is adamant. He comes out yelling, screaming, almost breaks Eric Bischoff's headset. And he's like, listen, man, I know what's going on. I'm going to solve this problem between Lex and Macho Man. Then they go to a commercial.
But you know what, Phil and Dave? At this point is when I think AA said a few weeks ago, WCW started to get traction and, you know, head in the upward swing, because you got to think WWF at this time, well, who had the title? What, Diesel? October?
The New Generation.
Yeah,
it was headed toward that. So,
I love WCW this time. I adored it. I mean, you have to understand, too, it's a month old at this point. So it's fresh. So now you want every episode. You're at the edge of your seat. You're not watching Raw right now. You're watching Nitro. It's that kind of fun. And at this point, it's still only an hour, but it's still a decent show.
No doubt.
So your first match was with Sting.
Wait a second. I want to throw in a little chunk, a little nugget, if you will, wisdom for everybody. This event, was at the Rosemont Horizon.
Oh, I'm sorry, wasn't it the United Center? My bad.
No.
It's at the Rosemont Horizon.
Rosemont Horizon.
The location of
WrestleMania 2.
WrestleMania 2.
That's right.
And was it not too long ago, I on the Facebook group, if you want to join up on there, check us out.
Hold on, Dave. Not only a WrestleMania 2, wasn't WrestleMania 13?
Yep,
that's true. Yeah. There was two WrestleManias there.
Yep.
And, you know, I covered a little bit on the Facebook group page for Turnbuckle Throwbacks that there was a Nitro at the Superdome. Not Silverdome, the Superdome, where WrestleMania 30 happens. So, you know, I just want to throw it out there, you know, where WWE has their WrestleManias. WCW had their Nitros there, so take that, WWE.
And they drew.
Yep.
And they drew.
Did it a few times. Dave, you're right. Drew. Georgia Dome, WrestleMania 27.
Georgia Dome was where Goldberg won the belt, right?
Yeah. 98.
Drew
sold it out.
Yeah,
they drew over 40,000 fans to that for a Nitro.
Again, dude, I wasn't a big WCW fan. I loved it though. It was a very well produced show, and that's the one thing. Even with the shitty writing at the end, it was always a well produced show. The graphics, the production, the music. You know, with DJ Ran, remember him? Like all that crap they had. Even when Kiss performed, it was kind of cheesy. But it looked good.
Greatest band in the world.
Yeah.
Tony Schiavone was a happy camper during that
time.
Yeah,
but it, I mean, even though Kiss was like, it's the fake Kiss because three of the guys weren't in the band anymore. But
well, two of the guys weren't. Well, no, I think no way. Didn't they had the original? They had the original lineup for that.
No, they did not.
Oh, so they had the other two guys.
Yeah, they had Eric Singer and the other Tommy something. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It looked good. It looked good, even though Del Torbo didn't look good.
January 4th, Nitro 2 was from Georgia Dome, 1999. Finger Poker Doom night.
Is that on the network? That's not on the network yet, is it?
No. I can't. It's that one.
I can't wait.
No, they're only up to like the like a handful in 98.
From April 21st. Or 20th, right before Spring Stampede, I think they're up to.
I'm having such a blast watching these Nitros, man. I really am. I really am having such a blast watching them. All right, let's get into this because I'm getting tired. for the WCW United States Heavyweight title, Sting, our boy Sting.
Sting.
Defending the U.S. Championship against the Shark.
You know, Shark. You know, I couldn't help but feel that, you know, it was already, like, written on the back of his tights, Shark Attack, but I couldn't help but feel like, you know, also part of the name was so they could say the phrase Shark Attack during the match. Because there's a point where Eric Bischoff's like, the Shark attacked him from behind, and like, really?
So is Shark Boy the son of the Shark?
I'll go with that theory.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Vancouver's own John Tenta, rest in peace. Yeah, so the Shark attacks Sting with a few clubbing blows. A running power slam. Not for nothing. He was agile for a big man.
Yeah, he was He was incredible.
Drops an elbow, hits a leg drop for a two. Here's where the match got really bad. And this is one of Sting's worst matches, actually.
What?
Yeah. Sting misses the splash. I'm sorry, Shark misses a big splash in the corner, right? Stinger hits this real cheesy, I almost touched him, Stinger splash in the corner after he Shark misses it. And then...
Well, he hits him with another one.
Yeah, but didn't even connect. Like that first one, it just didn't look right, you know?
Yeah.
And then Sting goes to the top rope with a flying cross body. Meanwhile, Shark gets a power slam and a leg drop. Doesn't get a fucking three count. Sting goes for a high cross body and gets a three.
Yeah.
That's the Stinger for you.
Go ahead, Tony C.
No, I was just saying, that's the Stinger finish for you. You know, you don't necessarily have to hit this finish to win.
Yeah.
But, you know, the purpose of the match was just, like, quick match, yeah. Get everybody hyped up.
That's Nitro. That's how Nitro got down.
You know, I feel like Nitro was kind of like, it's like a good punk rock album, you know. The matches were short, but they also had a lot of, like, impact, and there's, like, a good, you know, hook to these matches. So.
Well, it's funny you say hook because you want to talk about music. Back in the day... DJs, even radio station DJs, would pass out mixtapes. And when CDs got hot, you know, we get all these bootlegs from like Hot 97 and whatever hip hop stations in Florida or Georgia or North Carolina or California, and you would get like these hooks, and you just get break beats and just all the current stuff, and you would have like a like it would like key up something and yeah.
The hype man,
yeah. Funk Master Flex Knight. You know, that kind of shit. Wait, I think I have
it. Like Zuma Ion?
Yeah. That's what... Tony, you remember the mixtapes?
Yeah.
They would have this. Hold on. Oh, no, not that one. Hold on. Where is it? That's on my cell phone. That's my cell phone. I do that when we're rocking in the office and the supervisor leaves. I'm like... Anyway, same thing, same concept. That's what WCW did, perfected it, and made it a trademark of the show moving forward.
Yeah.
The next segment was footage of Hulk Hogan being attacked last week on last episode.
Stunt Granny Kevin Sullivan.
Genius booking, by the way, Kevin Sullivan. You could tell Kevin Sullivan.
Booker Man.
I respect you, Booker Man. You could tell. You could tell that Kevin Sullivan really loved what he was doing.
Oh yeah.
Between a Dungeon of Doom and him as a stunt granny.
Well, you know the thing with Kevin Sullivan, you know, he's been, you know, been down the road and back at this point in time. And you know, a lot of people like shat on Kevin Sullivan for this point in his career, but seriously, you know, WCW landed such a huge score by getting Hogan into WCW, period. And you know, we're still talking about it today. Like, this is like some funny shit, you know?
Yeah.
Does it?
And Sullivan was on the upswing, Dave.
Yeah, from this, I'm sure for a lot of people, they didn't even know who the hell he was until this feud.
They gave him the book.
Yeah, and then he went from this into the thing with the Horseman and Benoit.
And Benoit, who makes his debut tonight. We'll talk about that in a little while.
Talk to the hand, because the man don't understand.
Your next match was Sabu versus Mr. JL. You know him better as Jerry Lynn.
Sam Jerry Lynn.
Poor Jerry Lynn. Jerry Lynn was a fantastic talent. I've seen him wrestle, I want to say, 25, 30 times in my lifetime live.
Wow.
Between ECW and he is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And they always want to find a spot for him, not a spot, not the spot, not a liver spot, not my dog,
not a dog spot,
not a dog spot, but a spot for JL. And what they would do is they would give him shitty gimmicks, give him a mask and a cape, and call him Mr. JL.
Well, hey, man, you know, they were trying to capitalize on the whole Lucha and the whole Japan thing that was, you know, catching fire, you know, for Nitro and stuff like that. So I understand where they were going, because if they were just to have Jerry Lynn pop out, you know, at this point in time, people didn't know who Jerry Lynn was. You know, nobody's saying like, "Oh, that's the guy from GWF."
Yeah, but they could have brought him back for the cruiserweight stuff when they had Eddie and all those guys in there. That would have. Can you imagine Eddie Guerrero and Jerry Lynn on Nitro, or Jerry Lynn versus Dean Malenko, or Jerry Lynn versus Ultimo Dragon?
Oh, it would have been amazing.
Yeah, of course.
His early stuff when he left ECW, you know, because they got bought out, and when they gave him the light heavyweight championship in WWF, those matches were great. It wasn't for very long, but he did really well.
So Sabu at this point had a falling out with Paul Heyman over some Japan dates, and ECW was picking up steam. You know, it was they would 94, like winter of 94 was their year, and then like 95 was even bigger. Sabu's now not part of the company. He's like, he had from what I have read, it was a fallout with Heyman about doing dates in Japan, which he winds up on WCW.
Yeah,
and Sabu never really, he looked out of place in WCW, I thought anyway.
I think, you know, I remember when he debuted, I was really excited. I'm sure a lot of fans were, but, you know, the thing that was looming around me at the time was, what can they really do with this guy? Because his whole gimmick is, you know, even then, you know, it wasn't the smartest wrestling
extreme
fan, but
yeah,
I knew that, like, he can't be the same guy that he was in ECW as.
Well, what people don't know about Sabu is that he can actually legit wrestle. I mean, he can flat out. We've all seen him wrestle. You know, he's had stuff.
Yeah.
Him and Taz, him and Van Damme, and he actually wrestles Jerry Lynn in this match. There was one point where Sabu hits a crazy senton splash onto the floor and grabs a chair. Jerry Lynn gets a German suplex for a two count. Sabu springboards, middle rope, moonsault. Then tries to go for the camel clutch, but Lynn makes the ropes. Then Sabu goes. Here's the fun part. Sabu goes on the top rope, right? And Jerry Lynn delivers like a couple of right hands. Hits Sabu with a DDT from the middle turnbuckle, like Randy Orton style out of nowhere, which is pretty, which is really. I enjoyed that. JL goes to the top, but Sabu stops him, goes for a Hurricane Rana, but Jerry Lynn hangs on, leaps off, but Sabu catches him with a powerbomb. That was crazy. Catches him with a powerbomb. Yeah. Catches him with a powerbomb. Sabu puts Jerry Lynn in the camel clutch. Jerry Lynn passes out.
Yeah. And this is like, what, one of the five matches that Sabu had in WCW?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't in there for very long.
Wasn't a bad match. Tony, what'd you think of the match?
It fit right in there with where WCW was going, like you always said, with the luchas and the cruiserweights.
Yeah, biting off.
And, you know, the curtain jerk, you know, to keep everybody interested.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, regular storylines, you know.
Yeah. And this goes well with what Bischoff said on the upcoming Nitro Volume 2, Best of Nitro. He mentions how, you know, a lot of people thought he was biting off of ECW. But the fact of the matter was, you know, he did a deal with New Japan Pro Wrestling to get these guys to come over, and Sabu was part of that deal. He was wrestling in New Japan. Sabu's a former IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. And, he's part of the package.
It just so happens that that stuff was on TV, right? It was all coincidence that Bischoff had these agreements, but, you know, Paulie was doing it on TV for about a year.
well, what was it? I remember when a lot of that stuff was happening in ECW, I know that they had the talent exchange between WCW and ECW, but nobody was really watching what was going on. And I remember when, what's his face, Cactus Jack was in ECW as a WCW tag team champion.
Yep, that's the night the belt got broke, right?
Yeah, he threw the belt on the floor.
Yeah,
and and nobody knew about it until Mean Gene spoke up, because he just happened to be clicking through, he was watching TV and he was flipping channels. And just by chance, like, he came across this and he was watching it and he's like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
He just threw our belt on the ground saying it didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So, he phones, the right people and stuff like that. But I can understand, that this really, even though it was happening, Bischoff wasn't, precisely watching ECW. He may have watched some at that point, but he does say that he got all these guys from New Japan, and all these guys were in New Japan. Wild Pegasus and, this and that. We even had Sonny Ono on last week to back that up. And, yep. I know a lot of people are like, oh, there was the Mexican death match with Rey Mysterio and Psychosis. It's like, they had that match in 94 for the first, not the first J Cup, but it was the second J Cup in 94. And, this stuff was happening in New Japan as well. It wasn't, just relegated to ECW. ECW was doing, obviously their own thing, but a lot of these matchups and these guys were coming through that New Japan deal. So,
Before we get into the next match, I just want to mention, I don't know if you guys caught this, but during the Jerry Lynn entrance, you know who's ringside?
I didn't catch.
It's Justin Roberts, the former WWE announcer.
Justin
was a fan.
I want to say that I seen him on some other WCW stuff.
If you watch it back, when Jerry Lynn comes out, you'll see him in a white Chicago Blackhawks jersey holding a Hulkamania durag.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Because I could have sworn I seen him at some of these shows. And
yeah, you might have. He was a big WCW fan. He was from Chicago, so. I just forgot to mention that. It has in my notes, and we got into this other crap about Eric Bischoff. But anyway, the three amigos come out. You know who they are. Savage, Luger, and they're all coming out now. They're all with Mean Gene. Sting calls Savage out to solve the problem. Savage comes out. He wants Luger. Sting holds him back. Gets in the middle. Sting starts yelling at them, saying that the Giant is winning the game. Then Savage asks, well, why hasn't the Giant chokeslammed Sting? Sting tells Savage to shut his mouth. Sting says if both men beat their opponents tonight, then face each other.
Halloween Havoc,
I'm sorry. So now yeah. Luger has a match at Halloween Havoc against Ming, and Savage is fighting Kamala.
The Ugandan Giant.
When you have a lot of money, Don Marie, I'm sorry.
He's a great bowler right here.
He's a great bowler. Look at here. Don Marie. Anyway, Luger says that Sting's putting words in his mouth. Sting's sick of babysitting. Luger finally agrees to the quote-unquote possible match. They go to a commercial break. They come back, and it wouldn't be a Nitro if a limousine didn't pull up.
Even then, even before the NWO.
That's right. It would not be a Nitro if a limo did not come up.
A Lincoln limo, nonetheless.
Lincoln limo.
There's a limo pulling up.
Who comes out? The Crippler, Chris Benoit. Looking nice with his mullet and his suit. He looks up Canadian mullet. Thank you, Tony.
He's got a lot of volume in that hair.
And they all did. Did you see Nick Patrick's mullet?
Oh yeah.
Come on, dude. That mullet was epic, dude.
They put the conditioner in there. They didn't put anything else, and they were good to go.
Tony, he let his soul glow. That dude.
His mullet lives in mullet infamy.
He's got the mullet. Him and Johnny Ace from the Dynamic Dudes. Oh man!
I don't know. Bobby Eaton's is
Bobby.
Right there.
Bobby Eaton's was rich, dude. Yeah. Who else? Mike Awesome had a mullet. A lot of guys had mullets, dude. The Mulkey Brothers had mullets. Anyway,
Nick Patrick's is
epic. Yep. Nick Patrick lit his soul glow tonight on Nitro.
Yes, he did.
He most certainly did.
But anyway, the Crippler pulls up
and says, "WCW, where the big boys play." And they shoot right to Disco Inferno.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think they showed that the Benoit promo on Saturday night first.
Did they? They might have, yeah.
Because I remember seeing that on... I'm pretty sure I remember seeing it on Saturday night first, before this Nitro.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course I saw him in ECW first. And I was like, this is going to be amazing. And he debuts on our next week's episode.
He does on next week's episode. Anyway. Yeah. So Disco Inferno is just randomly dancing in the aisle. Right? And they're wondering why. And it's annoying and everybody's pissed off at him. And while he's dancing, Road Warrior Hawk makes his way to the ramp for his match against Big Bubba Rogers. But Disco wants all the attention. He has a boombox that's playing his music. Hawk gets in his face, and then Disco backs up, begins to dance again. And now, while he's dancing, Hawk makes his way to the ring and has a match with Big Bubba Rogers.
Who knew that Disco would go on to be an associate member of the Wolfpack?
Don't get me started. Anyway, that's another Nitro down the line. Go ahead, Dave. You want to say something?
No, I was just making a verbal comment about this man being a central part of the NWO.
He was a associate member of the Wolfpack.
Don't you know? Yeah. Oh, see, Dave doesn't listen to the rant very often, but every time Disco Inferno gets mentioned, you know Tony has to mention that he was a... He was a part of that Wolfpack.
He was an associate member.
But every time Double A mentions it, yeah. Anyway, so that's a rant that goes back to the rant. Anyway,
yeah.
So I still need to
hear Rage's apology to Little Caesars.
Oh, that was hysterical.
Oh man,
that was good.
Yeah, I apologize for being late on that,
dude. It was so good, man. It was like 2 weeks ago, right, Tony?
You are going to laugh literally your ass off.
He did well, actually. to give Rage credit, he did pretty good on that.
Oh yeah, I mean, he did what he was supposed to do. It's just his voice
and the guy played so long with it. He was like, and you know, Rage apologizing to him. He's like, no, don't be sorry, man. Like the guy's all seriously, Dave. The guy's all compassionate and shit.
Oh,
and I'm I was laughing my ass, man. I couldn't stop laughing. It was one of the funniest things they've done in a long time over there on that ranch show.
Weak.
I gotta hear this. I gotta hear the.
I think it's like Tony 2 weeks ago, right? Two episodes ago.
2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. 2 episodes ago, Dave.
All right. I gotta. Yeah.
And then Dave, we'll make a clip of it. We'll play it on our best of at the end of the year.
All right.
Oh man.
Anyway, anything about this match that stands out to you guys? Anything?
Road Warrior Hawk.
Disco Inferno putting the hat on Road Warrior Hawk.
On his shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Putting the WCW painter's cap on.
Yeah.
And he walks in with it, and the referee just looks at him and takes it off. And then Hawk looks back like, I'm going to punch your face in. At one point, Big Bubba charges Hawk and connects with a scoop slam. Now, while this is going on, Disco Inferno is up on the apron. Hawk begins to tear Disco Inferno's shirt apart and attacks Disco Inferno and gets counted out. Mm. So Big Bubba wins by count out.
Yeah.
A good old count out victory.
Well,
you have those gone.
I did like the part where Hawk whips Bubba into the corner. He slides under the ropes.
Oh, he always did that. That was one of his things, right?
Slides back in, gives him the big boot. But, you know, as you mentioned, Hawk gave him the power slam. But another quick match. This is supposed to be Hawk's return since having his arm broken from Kurosawa, a.k.a. Nakanishi in New Japan.
Yep.
So, it's just like, a quick thing to segue for the Hogan interview, Tony's favorite part.
Yeah, so Mean Gene calls out Hulk Hogan for an interview, brings out Jimmy Hart.
The debut of Darkness Hogan.
Yeah, Darkness, everybody. I got to get a clip of that. I gotta
Darkness with a neck brace.
I gotta get Dave Chappelle doing that for a clip. Darkness. Darkness is spreading. Anyway.
With the neck brace.
He wore black head to toe, Hulk, the Hulkster.
He was still cheesy as hell, regardless of wearing all that body.
Hogan comes in, and Hogan's hot right now. The Hulkster is hot. He tells Gene and Jimmy Hart to shut up and not talk. He's got something to say. He says he wants the Giant, but Mean Gene mentioned that the Giant is barred from the arena. Hogan mentions how the company's getting how they're choking the company, and his company's dying because of the ego. Hogan's going to put Giant in his place. And as he says this, you hear a roar on the big screen, like a motor of a truck. And a monster truck arrives.
As Hulk Hogan is saying how he's going to go into heaven and defeat Gorgeous George for some reason.
Right. They...
he's already, like, real quick, Hogan's going into how... he worked for some other promoter and how his company is dying because his ego got too big. Meanwhile, he's talking about going into heaven to defeat Gorgeous George as we hear the hum of a motor in the background.
Yeah, the hum of the motor, yeah. And the Dungeon of Doom pull up with the awful Zodiac outside, standing up in the truck with his arms out.
Hanging out a window like a...
like a band.
Guys on Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
We got a problem here. No, I'm sorry, guys.
I thought the imagery was pretty cool looking because it was just like, you know.
You would say that.
Well, you know, the Dungeon of Doom were some colorful characters, you know, and this, you know, I'm not a monster truck fan. Like, when I was a kid and they had, like, that Nintendo cartoon with Bigfoot in it, I thought that was cool, but... I wasn't going to see.
But you were also sick, so at that point.
I wasn't going to see Gravedigger and Bigfoot on Sunday.
Sunday.
Little did we know down the road that the Zodiac was going to main event Starcade.
I fucking knew you were gonna say that.
He already did. It was not.
No, he had already did it. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, 95. God damn you, Tony C.
You know, in the annals of time, people are gonna look back at Starcade. And
he did.
Dusty versus Flair. Harley Race versus Flair. Hogan versus the Butcher.
The Booty Daddy. The Zodiac.
Yeah, big Booty Daddy.
Oh, Christ help us all. Christ,
he took on the Zodiac at one of them pay-per-views. I can't remember after. Because he was the Butcher. It was at Starcade 94, right?
He butchered a lot of things.
So, what was the next one? It was Halloween Havoc, then World War III. So it could have been a World War III.
I think we're doing World War III.
Well, it may have been a Starcade. 95.
I gotta look it up.
No, Hogan was gone by then, but
yeah,
he was taking his little break. But damn it,
Thunder in Paradise.
Zodiac got a title shot. I remember that.
So
1994. Hey, you know, on that card, one of the opening matches was Das Wunderkind, Alex Wright going against Jean-Paul Levesque.
Oh yeah.
So terrorizing.
Terrorizing,
yep.
It was an all-star card. You know, you can't be beat with the Butcher versus Hulk Hogan for the title.
For the WCW title at Starcade.
At, the WCW event of them all.
Yes, the granddaddy.
Right.
Yeah.
And so...
Wait a second. If you want to backtrack a little bit, Hogan debuts at Bash of the Beach 94. Retires Ric Flair at Halloween Havoc 94, and then Starcade 94 defeats the Butcher, the Booty Man, the Zodiac, the Barber, the Running Man,
the Disciple,
the Disciple.
Ed Leslie.
Yeah,
right, he did.
The Man of a Thousand Names.
Malenko's got a thousand holds. Ed Leslie's got a thousand names.
Yeah.
Thousand gimmicks. That's right. Man of a thousand.
The
gimmicks.
Man of a thousand gimmicks. That's his new nickname on the show. All right, let's finish this up because Phil's nodding off over here like a dope addict. So the monster truck arrives at Dungeon of Doom, and the Man of a Thousand Names hanging out of it. Doug Dillinger and the boys trying to hold them back. like
succeeding.
Like the four guys that are standing in front of this truck are going to hold that truck back. Now Hogan wants to go outside and fight the giant. Oh, let me get out there, brother. Let me get out there. He's like rattling off, you know. Anyway, he goes out there, and then you know he doesn't. They cut to a commercial and a promo for Halloween Havoc, which we're going to be doing at the end of the month for Halloween, day before Halloween. You're going to get the Halloween Havoc.
Our Halloween Spooktacular.
The Spooktacular. That's right, David.
Yeah, we're back with the Spooktacular.
We're back with the Spooktacular again.
That's right.
That's going to be I'm thinking about not doing anything current that night. I'm thinking about just opening the phone lines and we're all going to talk about this awful pay-per-view. Just that match was awful.
That wasn't supposed to happen, brother.
Yeah. The other matches were good. That match, not so much. The roof, the
monster truck.
Yeah.
Battle.
Yeah.
The monster truck.
Yeah. Your main event of the evening. A steel cage match, a real steel cage match, a blow off, end of a feud, cousin versus cousin. Because you know, Ole and Arnie and Ricky were cousins. Remember that promo?
Right.
Remember that Ric Flair promo? We're cousins. Anyway, this was a really good match, man. I enjoyed this a lot.
Despite the Heenan commentary.
Oh, like, yeah, he's,
you know, I want to say real quick, you know, I didn't really go too much into what he was saying, but there was like some bad shit, like during the Sabu match, he's like, this man has been banned in 17 countries. Like, well, what the fuck does that mean, you know? So he's not banned in the U.S. all right, yeah, well, whatever, that, you know.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? That's it just came off like such a random thing. And there was something that, you know, Heenan said, like, I don't even know what this means. He said, he's Arn Anderson threw Ric Flair, or Ric Flair threw Arn Anderson into the cage. And Heenan's like, Yeah, it's like he's like throwing a tomato through a screen door. I'm like, well, nobody's bleeding. So that kind of throws that, you know, logic out there. But, you know, it just made no sense.
Yeah, he was having an off night.
Yeah. But I just wanted to put an exclamation point on
fine,
why.
Dude. No, that's fine. That's fine.
Throwing a tomato through a screen door. It's like a bad Biff Tannen joke in a Back to the Future movie.
If you were dressed as Back to the Future today, they were giving away those futuristic Pepsis at the Comic-Con.
Ah, bastard.
Yeah. Anyway.
Everybody knows where I'm going to be on 10-2015.
Hope that all works out for you. Anyway.
Well, they're rescreening Back to the Future Part 2 on that day.
I know, but I have it on Blu-ray.
Great movie.
I love that movie. I got it on Blu-ray.
Better seeing it in the theater.
Yeah, maybe I'll go see it in the theater. I mean, I got it for my birthday. Actually, I got the box set.
Mate like a tree. Get out of here.
Get the hell out of
here. Get the hell like out of here. I love when Shane does that.
That is so funny as a screen door on a tank. It's a screen door on a battleship, you idiot.
Biff Tannen, what a name. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, could have wrestled this beautiful Biff. Take over for
Kershaw.
Biff.
I just want to say this, Phil. Kershaw in the playoffs is freaking trash.
You know what? I want to beat him first. I mean, he just gave up a home run to Murphy. But he's still dominant.
He's not a postseason guy.
He's not a postseason. A lot of pitches we had growing up weren't dominant in the playoffs, unless you were the Atlanta Braves, you know.
Well, Maddox wasn't good.
Maddox
like
wasn't
that
great, but he had good stuff. You know, that's another story. I just want to beat him.
We can have I'm yeah. well versed.
I know.
I love talking about my 90s Braves now. Don't get me started.
I hate the fucking Braves, but
I talk about them all day and night.
I know. All right. Anderson versus Flair.
Go ahead. I know you're hanging on by a thread, so we got to get you out of here.
Tom Glavine.
Yeah, he's getting that test.
No, I'm just thinking about the Braves. 11 pennants. Anyway. On work in Flair. Flair reverses with a couple of chops in the corner. Flair gets into the cage a few times. Does the stomp on him. Flair connects with a couple of chops again. On hits a sick spine buster for a two count. They go to commercial break. Replay from the commercial is Flair chopping Arn again and falling groin first on the top rope, as Dusty Rhodes say.
In the groin, with a tot of teeth.
Flair sends Double A a few times to the cage. Now Flair's getting the upper hand now. Does the classic scraping of the face against the cage a few times. Couple of nice rights to the Foch, too.
Oh!
Yep. Arn sends Flair into the steel cage. Arn begins to scrape again with Flair. Now Flair's, you know, doing his bloody, you know. And now Flair is now gets a delayed vertical suplex. And who comes down? Brian Pillman. Booker man. Who Kevin Sullivan loved, by the way. He mentioned that on a podcast recently. Flair punches Pillman off the cage to the floor. That was pretty cool.
Oh, that was great.
Right?
Yeah.
Flair's on the top rope, and he actually hits the double axe handle. Every time Flair does an off-the-top-rope spot, never hits it.
Well, he's in a cage, so it doesn't count.
It doesn't matter. He hit the fucking move. He never does it. Always misses that spot. I figured it out. It can only happen in the cage.
Well, I've seen him do it in actual singles matches. I think he actually...
I've never seen him
do that. I think he hit Carlito Caribbean Cool successfully off the top rope.
That Flair doesn't count. Match. That doesn't count.
Of course it counts. It's during a match.
No, that's geriatric Flair. Anyway.
Yeah, he's still having great matches.
He had some good matches with Carlito.
Come on. He had a great match with Angle. Had a great match with Shawn Michaels.
He did.
Triple H, Randy Orton.
That's why he's the greatest wrestler alive, boys. He's the greatest wrestler alive. Anyway.
Even in TNA, he had some decent matches.
Flair with the knee breaker. Tries the figure four, but on hits Flair with a hard right again.
With the brass knucks.
With the brass knucks. 1, 2, 3.
That was the last of Flair versus Anderson. They had three matches, and Arn Anderson won two out of the three.
Afterwards, of course, Flair comes up to the broadcast area screaming that he wants both Pillman and Double A next week on Raw.
I want them both.
I mean, on Nitro. I want them both. You know, we're cousins. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Anyway, quickly, the good, the bad, the ugly. The good was the steel cage match. Disco
that
Inferno
was great.
Disco Inferno was great. Sabu and Jerry Lynn was all right. The bad, Sting and Shock. And the ugly, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the ugly was Bubba and Hawk's overall match, which was dismal.
Come on, give me a break.
No, give you a break. Disco Inferno saved that match.
Tony T saved that match.
He made it worth watching.
Good old Doug Gilberti to the rescue.
Glenn Gilberti is the
man. Glenn Gilberti, whatever.
Same thing, dude. Same thing. He's a Gilberti.
Glenn is short for Doug.
Oh, I didn't know that. Look at you. Look at you give me a fountain of fountain of misinformation.
Actually, was it at work today? I heard Shining Wizards Kevin was saying that phrase.
Fountain of misinformation?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Dave the Brain Powers. You know, that's how we do it now.
White lightning knows of what he speaks.
Absolutely, I speak the truth.
And the truth shall set you free. Next week on Nitro, DDP and Johnny B. Bad for the TV title.
This was a classic feud.
Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan are also on the card.
And I believe this was after DDP's homeless gimmick.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah. We need to cover that.
Dude, WCW was like money.
If he was homeless, how did he get? What happened to the King of Cable Ring that he won?
He hocked it.
He had a mysterious
benefactor
who got him back in the ring, which I don't think they even
mentioned.
Blew off like who it was, but he started winning all his matches, won the The Lord of the Ring battle.
Yeah, the King of Cable.
The King of Cable.
No, it's called the Lord of the Ring.
Oh, Lord of the Ring. That's how he got the ring. Okay, I thought it was called the King of Cable.
He got the ring, lost it. Eddie Guerrero, I think like there was like a, they put the blame on Eddie Guerrero before he was doing the lie, cheating, and stealing gimmick. But then they later found out that the guy who had it the entire time was Nick Patrick, and he had it in his pocket.
In his mullet. No, he had it in his mullet.
He had it in his mullet and forgot about it.
So. I lost in the shuffle.
Mullet shuffle.
But that was
lost the story. In the mullet.
He got the ring back, and then it just kind of disappeared from the storyline.
So here's what we learned tonight.
Be damn.
We learned that 1995 Nitro is amazing. We learned that Clayton Kershaw is terrible in the playoffs. Hopefully, if he continues that tonight.
Surfer's having trouble standing.
Right.
Surfer doesn't have a leg to stand on,
and he looks like... He looks like somebody... that doesn't matter. Anyway.
Brought into how Surfer goes to sleep at night.
Yeah, and Tony C shed some light on Surfer's sleeping habits.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Turn the flashlight off next time you're in Surfer's house.
So it was a very, very complete day here in the land of Rant EM Radio and the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Yes, sir.
Everybody
couldn't have it any other way.
Everybody contributed, which makes us the best. And setting the standard to everything else that doesn't suck.
Raising the bar on wrestling podcasting. As Sonny Ono said, we're the number one for wrestling information.
Yeah, thank you.
Just want to say before we head out, Sonny Ono's in Mason City. I had a little stint there in junior college when I was coming out of high school.
And I don't know where he fits in that dynamic of Cornfield and Bell's ice cream. So
I got to tell you, the Japanese, when they come to the States, they'll go anywhere. You know, they just don't go to, like, the big cities. You know, they go where they just, you know, whatever they can make money and they can do things, that's where they go. I think Sonny's been here for a minute, though. He's been here since the 80s.
He's been here since he was, like, 6 years old, I think he said.
Man, so that means he was probably there. He was there when I was did my stint.
You probably saw him in the fucking supermarket.
Well, see, this is the thing. They only have, like, one airport, and it's like a commercial. It's like commercial jets flying, and the actual bus. Like, me and my dad had to ride the Greyhound from, imagine this, Orlando, Florida, to Mason City, Iowa. It took us like
3 days.
Forever.
Oh boy!
Oh yeah!
Oh my goodness!
Wow!
Oh yeah!
You're still on the bus heading there, so.
And just imagine when you get there. And it's like in the bus station and the airport is in the same little municipal thing. So
a lot of towns like that, though. A lot of towns.
Well,
like
that. You know, it's like a I'm starting to understand it. You know, from being on the East Coast for so long, you know, there's definitely an appeal to all that. So
yeah,
but just imagine a brother from Orlando, Florida. Going to Mason City, Iowa.
Oh,
hell
yeah.
No!
Oh, they thought you were up to they thought you were up to no good, and you brought somebody with you. Even worse. Even worse.
I don't know how my dad made it back from that experience, but I can say that particular experience in my life introduced me to what we know as the Dirty 30, aka. Keystone Light. So
Keystone Light and Schlitz. I discovered
no, it
I
was
discovered,
strictly Keystone Light.
No, I
man.
Discovered Keystone Light in Pittsburgh. Mm. Oh, that stuff is like it's like the Rocky Mountain piss water. You know?
Yeah.
It catches up with
Anderson
you.
Drink of choice.
Exactly. And you're 18 and you're not even supposed to be drinking, but you're hanging, you know, with the locals because you don't know anybody. They turn you on to, hey, man, parents feeding you lick, Canadian whiskey and all kind of stuff, man. My memoirs, let me tell you, it's going to be something,
man,
when I put it out.
I want to do a forward for that memoir. I need to write the forward for that.
Call it the Mason City months. Not years, just months.
Just months. Tony's going to write an entire memoir.
Maybe we can get Sonny Ono in on the book, too.
Oh, have Sonny do the forward. Even better.
Sonny
oh,
Ono, you have my utmost respect for staying, you know, in that part of the country. Because there's nothing but cornfield. And that's pretty much it. So.
Tony, see any closing anything else before we let you go and I gotta close this out?
I appreciate you guys having me on. Much love, man. Always. I had a free Friday night, no football tonight. Stayed in, so I said gonna see if Phil and Dave will entertain me.
Yeah,
and
I was getting that
entertain
text.
The masses.
I was like,
no, you're so helping,
appreciate you guys, man.
We're all entertaining each other.
Yeah, it's the whole point.
There we go. I appreciate you guys having me on. Much love and have fun.
Yeah, we'll see you Tuesday, brother.
Yes, sir.
Have a good night.
I will listen to Rage's apology.
Yeah, go listen to Rage's apology.
Please listen to that, Dave. Please.
I got to hear the bromance, the tears that were shed over this phone call.
Man,
dude, it was so
it's
good.
Classic.
It is classic.
Rant. EM Radio.
It's
that's all
it's saying. The greatest hits for sure. It's instant classic.
It's Rant EM Gold.
Rant EM yes, Gold. That's awesome.
Yes.
Tony
sir.
C, have a good night, brother. Have a good rest of your
all
weekend.
Right, fellas, I'll talk to you guys next week.
You got it, man. Be good.
Thanks for coming on.
All right.
The one and only Black Hammer.
Black Hammer's in making an appearance tonight, making a run in, if you will. All right.
I love it when the Black Hammer does a run in.
Wrap this up, man. want to thank... Matt Squires had a family thing. That's why he didn't get a road show tonight. So he'll be back next week at a road show. So he apologizes. He's a...
Report.
The truck broke down and whatever. But shout out to Matt. We love him. Want to thank everybody in the chat room tonight. I want to thank Tony C for calling in. I want to thank Surfer for hanging out with me today. My boy Lou for hanging out with me today. Lou's friend, I forgot his name already. I'm sorry. Everybody who contributes, man, on a regular. Dave and I, thank you very much. Go to TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, RantEMRadio.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. You want to email us, TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. We have T-shirts, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Twitter and Periscope @TBuckleTback. Soon to be on YouTube. Working on getting shows on the YouTube channel so you get some more hits. I'll post that when I get it. Support all our friends. Support Thumbstick Ninjas. Everybody, all our friends are on TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com and ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
For iTunes.
iTunes, Stitcher, Geek Life Radio, TuneIn. I mean, we're everywhere, dude. You know, just go get it. It's there for you. Leave some reviews. Show some love. Take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. You know, and weather's changing, so make sure you buy the appropriate gear to rock out with your cock out. Dave, any closing thoughts?
Tune in next week for another Nitro. I won't be here. But yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll have somebody to attempt to fill my spot. They won't. But I'm sure there'll be a great episode.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight.